This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docter and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solution with exceptional follow-through. You can also get your questions in on Twitter at ESPN 97.5. We are live from Live Houston this morning at Golf Club of Houston, and we've got Troy Tutt here with us in the first segment to give us the latest as far as Live Golf. Troy is the Senior Vice President of Ticketing and Hospitality for Live Golf, so we're very lucky to be getting a feel from him here at the eight-week mark of the Live Golf season. Charlie, you flew back from Wisconsin yesterday with a visit with the great Angel Cabrera. Great to have you back with us.
Well, it's exciting. It's like Christmas. I've lost my voice all of a sudden. But Troy, this has really been quite an undertaking to get it off the ground, to get the concept. The money is one thing, but you've got a great idea, and part of it is a team effort. It's a team concept. It's a franchise, just like if it was the NFL, just like if it was the National Baseball League. Give me a little more of your success so far.
Sure, absolutely. First off, I appreciate you guys having me on, and Houston has been more than welcoming to Live Golf, so we're loving our time here. They've cranked up the heat for us, so we'll take that. But obviously, yeah, the team concept, this is brand new to professional golf. We have 13 teams. All 13 teams have a captain. That captain's not only the player, and the captain, but also the GM, and a part owner of their franchise. So, you have a Brooks Koepka who can play, trade one of his guys with a Bryson DeChambeau who can trade him with Dustin Johnson and so on and so forth. But the team concept, what it's done is you've taken an individual sport that's primarily individual sport. So we still have an aspect of that very much because the guys can still earn points and purses from individual performance. But it's the team side. They now have, every guy has three other guys that are looking on them to deliver, because if you have a bad day, that can impact it, especially within our format. We're 3 days, so we're Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday, we take the top three scores from that team, and that counts. But on Sunday, all four players' scores count. So you'll see drastic changes and swings in the leaderboard on the team side. And so you go up there and you throw a double bogey on a hole, that can really swing things real quickly.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about team golf, the colleges, the university golf, both men and women, have really gotten very popular, and it's feeding the PGA Tour. Is that also going to be one of the ways that you build your franchises, the kids that are coming out of college that will be involved, and they're NCAA tested with the match play format and stuff like that? So is that one of your goals too?
Yeah, that's a great point. Is all these guys played college golf.
Yes.
And they reference that. They
right.
say, hey, I grew up doing team golf my whole life.
Yeah.
Right, especially coming out of college, so they enjoy that aspect of it. So I think going from the college side to if it wasn't Live Golf and other professional golf and it's straight individual, I mean, the guys have honestly said that it's lonely out there. And it's not only lonely from a professional on the course and delivering, but just, you're traveling all over the place and it's just you and your caddy, and it can get lonely out there. So they have, I think Bryson mentioned it in his press conference the other day. He was in a tough spot. I believe it was Singapore last year, and he had his guys rally behind him, and it really helped pick him up. So I think, your question as far as, is that part of what we're trying to do? Absolutely. So we are supercharging the game for a global audience. And so what does supercharging the game mean? One is we're trying to make this beautiful game that we all love for a long time, and we're just trying to put a little bit more juice into it, a little bit a different flair. We're not trying to replace any other professional golf that's out there. We're just trying to be additive.
Huh.
This is just a different flavor for those who may like this aspect of it, but you can see from the guys, they love the team atmosphere.
But also, the competition between the PGA Tour, the World Tours, and Live Golf, it hasn't meshed yet.
Yeah, there's ongoing conversations. I mean, it's gonna take time. And are we a disruptor? 100%. So when a disruptor comes in, you know, a lot of times they're not always, you know, welcome with open arms. And there's conversations that need to be had to figure out how we fit within the overall golf ecosystem. So we all know kind of the conversations that are out there at a much, much higher level. It'll all flush out. It'll all get figured out. I think everyone's now realizing LIV Golf is here to stay. We're not going anywhere. I can tell you with confidence we are not going anywhere. So it's just a matter of how does LIV Golf fit into the overall, because, you know, it's not just PGA Tour. There's a lot, you know, we're global, right? And I think it's very easy for us in the U.S. to get very fixated on us and the other professional golf here in North America or the U.S., but we're global, and so we got to fit in the overall global golf ecosystem.
Yeah, we've seen other, you know, disruptors in the business world. I'm sure that Amazon wasn't quite welcomed by UPS and FedEx, you know, so that's part of the business. You mentioned the global aspect of this tour. One of my favorite teams that have kind of has come in the fold is Team Torque, with Joaquim Niemann and Mito Pereira, Carlos Ortiz, Sebastian Munoz. I love the way they talk about staying together every week in a house. You know, that they're all cooking for each other and staying under the same roof. I asked you this before the show, but how much of a connection do you see between the teams and some of the countries these guys are representing?
Yeah, it's a big piece of it. Some of it, I would say, is intentional. Some of it is organic. So Torque, to your point, you know, whether we're in Mayakoba to kick off the season in Mexico, or we're, you know, going to Spain here shortly in July, we certainly, there's an attraction by those, you know, that audience. You look at, you know, Ripper GC, which is headed up by Cam Smith, all Australian team. Rewind back to Adelaide, and we have our, you know, perfect storm. I wish I could say we scripted it this way, but you have Ripper GC, all Australian team, going against the South African team, the Stingers, in a playoff, which was our first team playoff we've had in our short history. So you have a lot of that that's, you know, certainly happening. Then, you know, you have a variety, I think, where we're still trying to get a flavor of, you know, some of our, you take a Four Aces or a High Flyers, which is a lot of, you know, consist of mostly Americans, and do we have a place that they call their home, right? Is there a state or a course or whatever it might be? And I think that's part of the puzzle pieces that we're still going to figure out. And I'm not saying it's going to get figured out in a year, but as this evolution goes on, is there kind of a home course and a home training facility and things of that nature? Greg has referenced it a little bit in the past, but we're gonna figure that out, you know, as we go.
Troy, you talked about Adelaide. You know, as far as that setup on the par three, you guys created a very incredible stadium venue there in Adelaide. From a hospitality and ticketing perspective, take Golf Club of Houston, for example. How does the tour determine where that stadium's going to be on the golf course?
Yeah, so we do a lot of analysis behind the scenes as we lead up to different golf courses and markets to just understand, you know, what the market can kind of bear, where we think the interest lies, so on and so forth. But really, we also have to look at the course itself. There's such a variety of aspects into understanding, you know, if you're going to build all the structures, like truly the real estate and the ground that's around there. And then there's a lot of what we call BOH, which is back of house, and that's where the catering is, and that's where restrooms are. So not to get into the details, but there's actually a lot that goes into just understanding. For example, Nashville in 2 weeks. Right now, Nashville is looking like it's going to be one of, if not our number one, one of our top U.S. events in our short history. We are doing a party hole there. It's going to be on the 15th. It is a par three. There's water kind of surrounding it, but it's going to have that similar kind of party vibe, and we're, you know, I'd call it almost like wrapping the hole. We're wrapping the hole a bit similar to Adelaide. Adelaide's on a different level, but a bit similar to that. So there's a lot of different, you know, aspects that go into it.
Well, the whole personality of the game is changing, and you're putting fun into the game. You're putting laughter. I can't wait to see the prize giving. I think that's an exciting time where the people that are used to college football, college basketball, they like that excitement. They like that, you know, the famous par three in Phoenix. So, but the one thing that early on, When you all announced, I compared it to like the NFL. They had other people come out and try to get into their own business, but they end up merging. Can you see yourself merging with the PGA Tour, having the team format plus the individual format and the type of hospitality you're looking for?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I would say it's, you know, I get that question a lot out there as you just talk to folks, because there's so much that's out in the media, and unfortunately 90% of what's out there is all subjective, and folks just, you know, trying to make a guess on what this is all going to look like. And to be honest with me, it's way beyond my pay grade on those, what those conversations are. And I think a lot of folks need to understand that the conversations are, you know, with the tour, really with, you know, the public investment fund, PIF, our ownership, not so much with LIV Golf, it's with PIF. And so, you know, that's all I can really say. It's, you know, it's at that level. I'm sure conversations are being had, and where it ends up, who knows. But the one thing I'm confident with is LIV Golf is, you know, we're here to stay, and we've gotten that direction that we're fast forward, moving forward. And just think about, you know, these players that we're signing, you know, a lot of times we're signing them for long-term deals, and that's not going to happen unless, you know, we're very focused on the long-term future.
Committed to the product.
Exactly.
That's right. And this is the world is so small. I mean, it's incredible. Everything, everybody knows what's going on within the internet. I mean, the way to pass the word on, and the pictures and everything that's going on at the facility here. And you got the advantage that this property, Golf Club of Houston, hosted a PGA Tour event. And you got a 6,000 car parking lot out there. You got plenty of room for your media. I mean, this is a stadium. And will you come back in the future? How does that work?
Yeah, I think you bring a really good point, is that to be able to come to a course that's hosted in the past, because there are a lot of those logistics of just the flow of fans and the parking and the capacities that we can hold. You know, tonight we'll have, right after plays, you know, we have a concert, and to be able to Macklemore is performing. You know, how many awards has he won? And the feedback we've gotten, folks are really excited for his performance, and to be able to have all the structures that we need here internally to host something like that. I mean, you're going to have thousands and thousands of folks watching golf and then shifting right over to a major concert. And they're not just playing one or two songs. It is a legit 90-minute show, right? So, but yes, the fact that they've hosted major professional golf in the past certainly checks a big box for us. We are, you know, I mentioned earlier, we're a global sport, and we do want to share the kind of LIV Golf love with the world. So I think you're going to see us. There'll be some courses that we'll do maybe 2 or 3 year deals with, and we'll stay there for a couple of years. But we'll always make sure we're rotating around as well, just to share the love. This is, I mean, it's crazy to say. I know we've only been around for a couple of years, but for Texas, this is our first time in Texas, which is crazy. And the history in Texas and how big it is, and the amazing golf courses. Now we are going to finish up
Merido.
At Merido in Dallas.
Pure golf course. Yeah. Well done, Troy.
Yeah.
Well
so
done.
We're excited about it. They've invested a lot into that course, and they're continuing to do so to get it ready for the big boys to come out in September. But let's just say, I'll say that Texas is a very important market for us, whether it's Houston or Dallas or somewhere else. But we are working on the 25 schedule, so yet to be seen.
Troy, one last question for you before we let you go. You know, you have an incredible resume. Yankees, Cleveland Cavaliers, you've been all over sports. What has been different about this? What have you enjoyed about this in comparison to working in leagues like the MLB and NBA?
Yeah, so I think what's attractive about LIV Golf is we're a startup. Now, we're starting to get a little bit out of the startup mode, but to be able to come in, and this is what was very intriguing to me, to take this opportunity. When do you have the opportunity to create a professional sports league? That's not once in a lifetime. I mean, that's once in a century. And to do it with A-list, right? We know there's other sports leagues that have started over the past few years, but sometimes, let's be honest, like, you know, they're taking maybe a little bit lesser caliber. They're not taking your A-list athletes. But to take A-list athletes, create a sports league, be disruptive, like, there's a lot of risk with that, but there's fantastic rewards that come along with it. And I think that's the really unique thing about it. And you know, in my past, I worked in professional golf before, and a lot of what we're doing, honestly, were some of the thoughts I had back then. And that's why, as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, this makes sense. Like, you know, perfect examples, you'd walk around, sometimes there's people that walk behind a golfer, and they're like, who is that? they don't even know who that golfer is, right? Every other sport, there's a name on the back of the jersey, and you kind of you start relating. So I think those are the type of things you can start seeing. Our guys, once they get through some of their long-standing, you know, kind of sponsorship deals, and they're all wearing the same kits and the same uniform, and you really can start understanding and attaching yourself to the teams and the league itself.
That is Troy Tutt here of Live Golf Hospitality and Ticketing. Troy, we appreciate your time. Unfortunately, we have to go to break, but you've done an excellent job, and I know Charlie and I appreciate you being here with us this morning.
And we've got to send out the website so people can see smiles on a golfer. That doesn't happen that often.
Oh, they're smiling big time. LiveGolf.com. Please come join us. Please come smile with us. Come watch some golf. Watch some music later on tonight. We still got some tickets available for today and tomorrow. Love to see you.
Thank you very much, Troy.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
That's Troy Tutt, SVP of Hospitality and Ticketing for Live Golf. Please go to LiveGolf.com. Get your tickets. Come out here today and join us. Martin Keimer, the two-time major champion, leads the way at 7-under. He's just a week away from going back to Pinehurst, where he won the 2014 U.S. Open by 8 shots. And then on the team side of things, you've got Cleek's Golf Club at the top, led by Martin Keimer. And then my favorite, Torque AGC, in second, 3 shots behind. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here from Live Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.